Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You can download the app if you don't already have it, Jay. I'm sure you, most people listening to us have it. It's on your phone already. Hit more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. We're right there. Morning, Jay.
Good morning, baby. That boot on LeBron James' foot looked serious last night. I'm going to tell you that, watching him on the sideline. It makes me feel bad when I watch the Lakers play because I know the season that LeBron James was having at 38 years old was unprecedented. And the amount of time he has to play, that it led ultimately to a foot injury where now we're going to put all the weight on the shoulders of AD and D'Lo, who just got to this team, to say, make our run to the playoffs. Just tough.
Hey, I want to say congratulations to, you know him well, Jay, Dave McKinnon, our producer.
That's right, he had his first child.
He's produced me on several shows, including this just in. He's a father. Father for the first time. Mazel tov, Dave.
Wait, and it's a great name, too. It is, the name is, I'll find it, Max. Because Dave texted to me early the other morning, and it was just a little girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. 11:05 a.m. Ember Pearl McKinnon. That's incredible.
That's right. She'll be awesome. President one day.
That's awesome.
So, even before the boot, when LeBron goes down, and you can read his lips, and he's saying, I heard it pop. Come on, man. That's the Lakers season right there. You had to have everything go right to win a playoff series, right? To make the play-in, get the right matchup, win a playoff series. Could they still do it when he heard something? What's the quickest comeback you ever heard when someone hears something pop in their foot?
Not good.
It's not too – when they're like, he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
No.
I never heard it, something pop, and then someone's back in 2 weeks.
What's he going to come back in his first game while they're in the play-in? Like, essentially? Like,
LeBron's so great, maybe he can win that game, but then what, are you going to win a series?
Yeah, I feel like LeBron James is done for the season. The bigger question to me, and we talked about whether the Lakers will make the playoffs or make the play-in with AD and D'Lo coming back, and I do think there were positives last night that were in that game. I think other players need to step up. But LeBron, over the last several years, has always had an injury down the stretch. And we're starting to see Father Time take a significant role. What the numbers he's put up are incredible. But it seems like when you get to the end, there's been some kind of lingering effect due to the minutes he's been logging. 37, 36 minutes per game over the last 2 years, 37, 38 years old. At some point, you have to reflect and say, I know you want him to play. I know his body is unique. It's like an alien. But this is an indictment on the franchise, on Rob Pelinka for not surrounding him with youthful talent to help him load those minutes.
There's so much there.
That's a topic, Max.
I think what you just said, what pops into my mind, LeBron and the Lakers may have just gotten lucky, because I was in L.A. doing Afternoon Drive with Marcellus Wiley, Max and Marcellus on 710 ESPN L.A., and the Lakers get D'Antoni as a coach, and they had Steve Nash, so now you want D'Antoni, of course, and they still had Powell, and they had Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant, and this team was supposed to win a championship or at least get out of the West or at least get to the Western Conference Finals, and they were in danger of not making the playoffs. Kobe was reluctant at the time to really implement D'Antoni's system. It's nothing he was used to, and he didn't really believe in it, and he didn't think it was going to work, and et cetera. And he basically staged a behind-the-scenes mutiny in the sense that he was like, all right, we're about to miss the playoffs. No, not with me on this team. And he took over the team, took over the early on he told Dwight, you're the captain of the defense, I'm the captain of the offense, right? Like, let's be honest. And once he did that, and once he started doing, the Lakers started winning. They won a lot. Jay, I want to say they went 26-12 over the last 38, and they made the playoffs. But I remember at the time saying, Kobe cannot be playing himself 45 minutes plus per game, right? D'Antoni's got to assert that at least and say, you can't do this. Because given his age and number of minutes, and he is in danger of a catastrophic injury. In fact, his Achilles did indeed snap. There's an American folk song about John Henry, this guy who's with the hammer, he's hammering away, and then the steam drill comes out, and he bets, it's like against technology, he bets he can beat the steam drill in a competition, and he does, but he dies from the exertion, right? That's what it felt like watching Kobe. Like, yes, you're going to will the team to the playoffs, but you may sacrifice the rest of your career, which he did, Jay. He was never the same. He had that 60-point game, last game of his career, but that was really the end of the great Kobe Bryant as we knew him, was when the Achilles went. I said the same thing about this LeBron. What I brought up this comparison on this show many times in the past. If he continues to play 38-plus minutes, 40 minutes a game, at his age, given all the miles, he's going to suffer a catastrophic injury. Jay, the fact that it's just a foot that popped and they think he can be reevaluated in 2 weeks and maybe...
No.
They lucked out, but the fact that this is not an Achilles, they lucked out, Jay.
And LeBron James should not come back. Obviously, you have to go through an MRI, you go through the process, you see what the injury is, but if it's something that is lingering over a period of time, even for a playoff push, like you're going to jeopardize the next couple of years of your career that you have left down the stretch. It automatically comes back to me, Max, before we talk about Kevin Durant, about what other high-level guard are you surrounding LeBron James with that can help unload a lot of the weight that he feels like he needs to carry from an initiation perspective, right? He does a lot of it. Playmaking ability, scoring, defense. This year, obviously, with the scoring title, was something that obviously drove him. He was ambitious about it, but he was keeping him in contention single-handedly.
He was, and everyone, forget about this year for a second. If you're a Lakers fan, they were never going to win a championship this year. The main thing is, will LeBron be good to go next year? Can AD show some consistency in terms of his ability to stay on the floor? Don't worry about the fact he can't assert himself and be an alpha and blah, blah, blah. He is not. He is the number two guy on this team anyway, even next year. And can the Lakers put enough pieces around them, and they've started to put the right kind of pieces around LeBron, to make a run next year? Lakers fans got to think about next year. Don't delude yourself right now. If LeBron has not just suffered a catastrophic injury, you have dodged a bullet. If AD can stay on the floor, well, it's empty calorie stats. Okay.
Just stay healthy, AD.
Stay healthy. LeBron will come back. And if Pelinka can now start gathering the right kind of pieces to put around LeBron, the Lakers can make a run next year.
You know who's making a run this year?
Who's that?
KD.
Looks that way.
Phoenix Suns.
Looks like it's going to happen. Rich in North Carolina. We're going to get to KD in a second. Rich in North Carolina. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
North Carolina.
I hear you. Yes, this is Rich.
What's up, Rich?
What's up?
Hey, man. Happy to be here. First of all, the Lakers last night looked dejected. Or as a fan, I watched.
All right. We're having a hard time. Your reception's breaking up. We'll try and get back to this caller if the reception gets better. David in Georgia, you're on with Jay Will and Max Kellerman. This is Keyshawn, Jay Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Jay Will and Max, thank you for taking my call. Anthony Davis couldn't carry it in Kentucky without them two forwards that he had. So, and you know he couldn't carry it in New Orleans, and he definitely ain't going to carry it in L.A.
You know, it's okay to be a max contract player and not be a team carrier, because the great teams have two max contract players. You just have to be good enough to be the second best player on a championship team, and AD already showed he could do that. Showed he could do that. Just he ain't going to be the number one guy.
I don't think the caller was finished.
He is now, Jay. What were you saying about KD?
That this is, you know, I had to do Sirius XM yesterday. And it was referring to Charles Barkley's comments about Kevin Durant. And Charles Barkley, you know, in a nutshell, pretty much said, you know, LeBron had to respond to the – oh, do you want to throw it to the sound?
You want to hear it?
Yeah, I would love to.
Here's Barkley, pro and college basketball Hall of Famer, on First Take. Here he is.
If you go back and look at LeBron, who I really admire and respect, he said this. I did not say this. He says – I had to win a championship without Dwayne to get old heads respect. Kobe Bryant said this too. He says, I have to win a championship without Shaq to get these old heads off my back. I hold Kevin Durant to the same criteria. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the fan says. I'm talking about old guys like myself who went through the trenches. Kevin Durant going to have to, before, like, hey, he's all-time great, but when it comes to being mentioned with some of these other guys, he's going to have to win a championship where he's the leader of the team and he's the best player.
So, like I said before, leader of the team can mean different things. Like, he's not the vocal LeBron James-like leader of a team, but as it relates to leading by example, being in a gym, that is a form of leadership where I disagree with Chuck. What I will say, though, is that comment led me to think about Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq, one of the most dominant players ever. Is he a great to you, Max?
Of course.
He's a great. He won one with Kobe. He won one with D-Wade. He didn't have to go out and win one by himself, did he?
Everyone needs someone. Yes.
Everyone needs someone, yep. Right? So, like, I, for me, if you're Kevin Durant, even if you do win one with Phoenix, basketball purists will say, Phoenix has never won an NBA championship. Phoenix is a team that got blown out last year in a game 7, in a game that we felt like they were going to be in, and got smashed, right? And now he's reviving Chris Paul and Devin Booker to help them get over the hump to win a championship. That's how I will look at it. But natural members of the media are going to say, well, he still forced his way out of Brooklyn because that failed, and he still got himself to another team where they had another perennial all-star in Devin Booker in CP3. So it does feel like if you're KD, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You can't worry about other people cementing your greatness. All that matters at the end of the day is that you will be a 2-time finals MVP. You're a 2-time world champion. And if you become a 3-time finals MVP and a 3-time world champion, then he will be considered one of the greatest to ever do it. He may not be LeBron James. He may not be Michael Jordan, but you're not going to sit there and dismiss his talent. You can't.
I want to get into what you just said. Coming up, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
There's no doubt in my mind that there's a lot of excitement around this Suns team of what they're going to be when they get Kevin Durant.
As far as integrating Kevin, I think there's going to be times where there may be hiccups.
Guy's been great at integrating me in all the sets and having a long practice so we can figure some stuff out, so it's been fun. I'm looking forward to try to, you know, translate that over to the floor.
The expectation is that he is going to hit the ground running, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he fits in seamlessly to what this team does offensively.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay, you said some stuff about KD and what Charles Barkley said about what KD has to do. And in fact, what you believe KD has to do. Chuck was like, KD's got a... I love the fact that everyone's on a first name, nickname basis with him. Chuck like, he's got to lead a team to a championship, right? And you're like, look, if he just wins a championship in Phoenix, that's now he's a 3-time champion.
Yes.
I agree with you. He's got to win a championship in Phoenix. I don't know that he has to lead them to it because everyone's different.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But what's your definition of lead? Like a lead dog, like a CP3 or LeBron?
I think CP3 will be the leader on that team and KD will be the best player on the team, right? And it's possible that Devin Booker could win finals MVP if they win it, right? Like, who knows?
I'll give you an example real quick before you get into your point.
Yeah.
So, like, Going into my freshman year of college, my senior year of high school, I got a chance to spend a lot of time with the Duke team, and Trajan Langdon was the leader of that Duke team. Now, he wasn't the vocal rah-rah-rah guy.
Were they paying you yet, or did that happen later?
Yeah, we don't talk about stuff like that, Max. But Trajan was a guy that literally was the first in the gym, the last to lead. It was more like the work ethic. Like, this is how we work. He wasn't the vocal guy pointing and getting all the fame, but he was one of the bona fide leaders of that team.
I wouldn't even get bogged down in quibbling about what does leading mean and da-da-da-da. I think you could just be the best player on a championship team, and that's who you are. That's what you are if you lead by example, whatever, or don't even lead at all. But you won, and you're the best player. To me, what's much more important than that Well, but even if he wins, they'll say, oh, they had Devin Booker. They just went to the finals. They have Chris Paul. No one wins on a bad team. You're not going to win a championship. Of course it's going to be a very good team. The issue is, and this is what I want to drive home, the Warriors were different. The reason if he wins on Phoenix, it shows you something that he has not yet shown is, yes, he won finals MVP and da-da-da-da. Guys, the Warriors, had they won the championship, would have been called the greatest team that ever was. They had 73 regular season wins. Everyone watched as Steph and Draymond and Klay redefined basketball. They were going to, if they would have beaten LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love, and now they're champions after 73 wins. Oh, it's the best team ever. Oh, are they better than the 72 win Bulls? That's the type of area they're operating in. That's not these Suns before KD got there. These Suns were a garden variety powerhouse Western Conference team. They made a finals and lost. Big deal. Like, the good teams do that sometimes, really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
If KD wins a championship away from the Warriors, who also won before he was there and after he was gone, he will have shown something new. I don't care if he leads, follows, goes left or right. Who cares? He's the best player on that team. If he wins a championship, it will be because he showed up. They didn't do it before. They won't do it if he's not there.
You can make an argument that Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers are the two most polarizing figures in all of sports right now. That it doesn't really matter, even if they do win a chip, certain people are going to find things wrong with them. KD, we've had people call on this show, Max, literally to you and I, and say that you guys are Kevin Durant apologists. Wait a second. Like, people hear
maybe
what
Jay, not me.
But no, it's not. Like, I talked about Kevin Durant having to win a chip.
Yeah, Durant got mad at you one day for stuff he said.
Yeah, right. Whatever. But like, it goes back to the point, though, of, is it more the drama that people know Kevin Durant for?
Yeah.
Or is it more the on the court?
What do you think?
I think it's the drama. Because I look at Kevin Durant, regardless of whether he wins chips or not, I know who the best player on the floor was with Golden State.
Yeah,
I know clearly. That without Kevin Durant, even if you want to put in Paul George, it still doesn't give you the same likelihood or probability of winning a championship against LeBron James, because I know who the hell LeBron James is in my mind. And I know that Michael Jordan, LeBron, regardless of whether you want to argue about that, you're talking about the two best to ever do it. Mm-hmm. So that's what it takes to beat LeBron James.
Yep.
So I know what his greatness is on the court. I don't think people recognize that as much because it's all the other stuff. It's the burner accounts. It's you decide to follow Kyrie Irving. You left Golden State. You shouldn't have left Golden State. Why did you even go to Golden State? It feels like all these other narratives carry so much more weight than the on-the-court product.
Can I bring up one of my pet points from Greatest Hits Volume 3 or whatever?
Yes.
When you say he's like his greatness and everything, Kevin Durant's goodness, meaning how excellent he is at basketball, has already been established at the highest possible level in the history of basketball. There are a couple of guys you can mention at that level. But the greatness is really what I'm talking about. And I think that's what Charles Barkley's getting at, too. Although he says lead, I just think you just got to be on the team. Greatness to me is when the playing field is more or less level. It's not going to be perfect exactly, but can your team win the whole thing because you're on that team, right? And my point about the Warriors is that was not a level playing field. That team was already on a level playing field with the best version of a LeBron James team. Once you add KD,
go ahead with your point.
Without KD the year before, they went to a game 7 mm-hmm. with LeBron with a healthy Kyrie and Kevin Love. Fully loaded LeBron team. Eked it out in game 7, right? So they're already right there with the best in the NBA, you know, the very, very best. Once you add KD, he's no longer proving to me the greatness that I want to see. In other words, I already know how good he is. What I want to see is in the moment of truth when the playing field's level, can your team win because they got you? And now, to me, on the Suns, he has a chance to prove that. In Brooklyn, he had a chance to prove that. In OKC, he had a chance to prove that. The Warriors, you're showing something else.
Okay, let me ask you this. LeBron James and Kevin Durant, skill set-wise, are they kind of on the same level?
Yes, but different skills, but yeah.
All right, accolade-wise, are they in the same level?
No.
I don't see anybody making that argument, saying that Kevin Durant's on the same level as LeBron James.
Because LeBron's done the thing I just said.
But LeBron did it after he did it back in Cleveland with Kyrie, who made the biggest shot in Cleveland history for him, by the way. I'm not making the case that LeBron hasn't carried the load. LeBron has. LeBron has brought teams from the depths of the sea to the NBA Finals. I've also said LeBron is one of the few players in NBA history that individually can do that.
He gets you closer to a championship by himself than anyone ever.
He is so different in that manner.
Yeah.
No other player can do, like, we don't hear us talking about Steph. Giannis maybe to a degree, but even LeBron was different than Giannis.
There are players who, to me, if you're already loaded, will win the big, Jordan, to me, if you got enough stuff, Jordan, I'll take it every time, you win every time. But if you're talking about, you ain't got a thing, nothing. Start with a blank slate. Give me one player who's going to consistently make me competitive to win championships every year. No player's ever been LeBron in that respect.
Agreed.
He by himself can get you closer to that than anyone else. KD has a different kind of game. KD is more of a put you over the top kind of game, as scorers often are, right? Although KD can also distribute and all that stuff, but he's not a point forward.
So my point is, when I hear Uncle Chuck keep talking about, I'm not going to put him on that level, I'm like, even if KD does win this championship, you're putting him on that level with LeBron James?
Well,
I'm not.
Okay.
This
is what I would say. If he wins this championship, the difference is LeBron has shown up in places, been that gravitational pull that put together a champion. Did it in Miami, did it in Cleveland when he went back, did it in L.A. KD did not show that in Brooklyn. However, if KD wins away from the Warriors on a level playing field type thing like he would do this year, his package as a player, his size, his skills,
where does
his ability,
it elevate him to if he does it this year, in your opinion?
I think he'll have a
compared
good,
to where is he now, and then where does it elevate him to?
Okay.
Do you look at him differently than Steph?
Yes. Right now, there are arguments that KD's not in the top 10 all time. There are arguments. I would say he is, but there are arguments. No, wait a minute. If KD wins in Phoenix, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and KD will pop up on many lists as right next to those guys.
You don't put Steph Curry in that list?
He's a little small.
Yeah, but I'm saying Steph has won two without Kevin Durant.
He has. There's no question. Steph is his greatness.
All I'm trying to say is, like, does it alter the conversation for you that drastically?
It does.
Okay.
It does. For me, it does.
Okay.
He will have shown greatness in his good.
I don't need championships to determine whether a player is a top 10 greatest basketball player.
When Muhammad Ali was in his prime, before exile, the first time, for kids who don't know, he refused induction into the Vietnam War, and his boxing license was taken away through his prime, right? So there's pre-exile and post-exile Ali. When Ali was pre-exile, Jay, he was the goodest heavyweight who ever lived at that time, right? Mm-hmm. He was better than any heavyweight who ever lived. But he didn't show that he was the greatest heavyweight yet. What would happen when he was really tested? When he came back post-exile and he wasn't the goodest anymore, he showed he was also the greatest. I know KD is one of the goodest players who ever lived already. Been known that. I want to see if he's one of the greatest players who ever lived. Now let's see. That's how I would put it.
I already think he's one of the greatest.
You think he's proven in the moment of truth that he can put a team over the top when the chips are on the line and it's like an even playing field? I have not seen that.
Okay, I think he's going to have a chance to prove it, because the last two games I watched Dallas blow out the Suns.
Yeah, no doubt. He's going to have that. I think he will have a chance. By the way, you heard Giannis's roasting of KD, or at least attempt at it. We're going to get into it. And did we learn anything from the Lakers last night? 888-SAY-ESPN, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Into the lane, hangs it, Gabriel, floats it up and in! Morant, a new franchise record with 28 points in a quarter.
Shots I missed earlier in the first half, the shots I made in that third quarter. You know, I just told my teammates I wasn't going to miss too many more of those, and the rest is history.
Conchar into the paint, running quarter, no good. Oh, Jaren Jackson just posterized Anthony Davis.
You got arguably the best player to ever play the game. You're going to feel his absence. That's for damn sure.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Look at this. Chris Canty back with us. And we are joined by author, very fancy.
New book. Oh, yeah.
The Education of Kendrick Perkins. KP, I thought that only happened when you showed up and talked to me, but apparently it's your entire life. Memoir by NBA star media heavyweight Kendrick Perkins. What's going on, KP?
Jay, Max, what's going on? And Max, why you always got to throw in the heavyweight and stuff like that? Man, you can leave that out of
there. It's the boxing
stuff. You're a big fella. Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, KP, he insecure, man. He insecure. And I'm a little bit insecure because you didn't shout me out. I'm sitting here on the damn show, too. Can I get some love?
Matt, is that my boy, Cannon?
Of course, you know, of course it's me.
Hey, Cannon, that's my fault, man. My apologies. You know, hey, you know, we tied together like shoelaces.
Oh, for sure. And for sure. And I want to congratulate you on the new book. So you're no longer giving away free game. They got to pay for this part of the game.
Preacher.
Absolutely.
ESPN All Access with the Boston Celtics, Malika Andrews, and Kendrick Perkins will be on site in Boston. NBA Countdown will also be live from Boston at 7 p.m., leading up to the game at 7:30 p.m. That's Cavs at Celtics.
Perk. I got to dig into it. You know I like the drama, and there's always a lot of drama around the NBA. So I was on vacation, and I saw you on First Take talking about Nikola Jokic saying stat padding. And then I saw J.J. Redick yesterday on First Take going at you for stat padding. So you're kind of saying, hey, what you're talking about, Perk, I disagree. This is not what Jokic is. I know this is a polarizing subject around Jokic. But I know you responded via Twitter, but I want you to respond to J.J. Redick live on our show about your thoughts on Jokic and his compliment on it.
Well, first of all, Jay, I heard you tell me one time, hey, man, if you want to slap box, at least let me be there to throw my punches back. At least let me be there to throw my jab and my uppercut. That was my response to J.J. But here it is, right? It's no disrespect to Jokic. I feel like he's one of the most skilled bigs to ever play this game of basketball. And when I made the comment about him averaging a triple-double, I simply reminded Stephen A on First Take that I witnessed him go from averaging around 9.5, then it went to 9.6, and I saw his shot attempts go down, and he started passing the ball even more. Now, my whole thing was that stat padding happens all around the damn league, man. Let's not sit up here and be fooled, like, Jay, that you wasn't in locker rooms and throughout the course of a game, guys was a rebound away from having 20 and 10 or, you know, two assists away from having a triple-double, and they wasn't aware of it at the time. And guys was, like, not helping them trying to get to that goal. So let's not act like guys don't know what their numbers are. They're having conversations between their family, friends, with their agent. They know where their numbers are at. That's why you see guys today when it's time to take those half-court shots, you know, at the end of quarters or at the end of halves. You see guys just dribble the clock out, right? You know why? It started from guys not wanting to mess up their three-point percentage. So let's not act like this don't exist. Like, this happens, and it's okay. You know who's the second, you know, all-time leader for his field goal percentage in Celtic history? It's me. And Robert Williams just passed me up. And I remember when I was on the verge of breaking a cornbread record for a field goal percentage, highest field goal percentage in the season with Celtic history. Guess what? Max Cornbread used to always come up to me and say, "Hey, man, you open at the elbow." I was like, "I'll dribble hand off and get the shot clock violation before I not break this record and be number one over you," right? I would tell him that.
In other words, that's your version of it. That's your version of what you're saying Jokic is doing.
No, but what I'm saying is this, Max. What I'm saying is this. It happens around the league, and locker rooms are aware what these people, what these players and guys are capable of doing. And there's no lie about it. It don't matter what your personality is and all that. Like, okay, people used to criticize Russell Westbrook.
I was about to say Westbrook.
Every single season.
And how much of that do you think comes from when you average a triple-double, when you put up stupid numbers, as Westbrook did, as Jokic is doing now, as Giannis did once upon a time, before you win a championship, people are like, yeah, that's great. But in this league, it's really about the playoffs. It's a long playoff season. Do it in the playoffs, right? Like, to me, most of the criticism about Jokic, what's underneath it, is the lack of deep playoff runs, right? Like, isn't that really what we're talking about?
Absolutely. You know, when I think about the guys like Giannis, right? Just think about Giannis. When he won the MVP back to back years, right? The next goal for him coming into that season, the next conversation people was having, was about whether or not he was going to go to the finals
100%.
And win the championship. Like, and that goes for anybody that didn't win the MVP. It was the same energy with Steph Curry. So why are we not keeping the same energy when it comes down to Jokic, especially if we're talking about him being on the verge of winning his third straight MVP?
100%. I think we are on that energy. I think we are. Huh? I think many of us in the media are on exactly that energy. Like, okay, great, but what are you going to do in the playoffs?
Yeah, and the other part to that conversation, Big Perk, is are we looking at Jokic as a top five player in the game? A lot of people don't just because he hadn't had success once we got to the postseason. This guy ain't got out of the second round since he started winning MVPs.
I've never seen a disconnect like this where a guy monopolizes the MVP,
yeah,
and yet he floats in and out of my top five at like five.
Yeah.
He's not in almost anyone's top three. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's wild.
Well, let me ask y'all this. How are you on the verge of winning your third consecutive MVP and you're still not labeled as the best player in the league? Guys don't look at you. Forget the media and the fan base, but think about his peers. Like Malik Andrews sat down with Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, and Ja Morant. And when she asked about who was the best player in the league, they all said, I believe, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So my thing is, how is a guy right now about to win? See, this is what I keep saying about moving the goalposts when it comes down to winning the MVP. Like last year, for example, the Denver Nuggets finished number six in the West, one game from not being in the play-in tournament. Joel Embiid led the league in scoring. I mean, guys were having these great runs and having individual performances. But still, we move the goalposts so much every single year for, I believe, guys who we want to win the MVP.
Yeah, but this is what it comes down to for me. Regular season MVP, come on.
It's different.
Man. Come on, when I say, hey, Steph never proved until this past season that at the end of the season he was the best player in the game. Oh, what are you talking about? He did in 2016. He was the – really? When it was all said and done, you thought he was better than LeBron after the postseason? Stop it. When we talk MVP, really, what we're really talking about is not regular season MVP. We're talking about who the best player in the game is. You only find that out in the playoffs. Let's be honest about it. All right, that is – Kendrick Perkins.
All right, KP. I see you spitting facts.
The Education of Kendrick Perkins is the autobiography, and I suggest you pick it up. Thanks, KP.
All right, thank y'all. Appreciate y'all, my brother.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. You know, we were just talking about, because Chris Canty brought it up in the previous segment with Kendrick Perkins, that Jokic, in spite of the fact that he looks like he's heading for his third straight MVP, and I've been talking about this for weeks on this show and this just in, Jay, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, handsome host. I there's never been a disconnect between a guy's place in the game among most observers and his dominance of the MVP award, his monopolization of it. Like, three in a row it looks like he's going to win. He floats in and out of my top five, Jokic. Five, six, something like that. Lack of success in the postseason and mediocre defense, which might be being kind, right? So top five or six, where is he for you? One to Jokic, where does he rank?
So Giannis one as of right now. KD two.
Because of health for Giannis and KD. Yep.
Steph three.
Yep.
Steph, KD right there. Yep. Like one, two, three.
That's where I am.
Yo, LeBron's still top five to me.
I agree. You want to put him four?
I'll put Braun four.
Yep.
And then I get into like the Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Jokic.
Doncic, who has the ball in his hand, so controls your offense, made a conference finals.
Yeah, Doncic.
Yeah.
You get into that.
So, that's what I mean. So those are four you have ahead of Jokic. When push comes to shove, even though Jokic has more sway over a game in certain respects, Tatum defends and Jokic doesn't.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, Jokic impacts the game in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And look, people, if you don't like Jokic, fine. You don't have to like him. And I keep hearing people say, well, you know, he's not super. Yo, this dude is different, man.
I do like
him. He has the best footwork in the – him and Joel Embiid have the best footwork in the league. The best footwork in the league. And by the way, like his rebounding, his shooting, the way he works around the rim, there's a different motor in him than there is in Joel Embiid. I can say that. Mm-hmm. Now, him and Joel Embiid are different, but whether you want to range them around the same or you put Joel Embiid a little bit ahead of him, and I know we have Joel Embiid fan base here, the motor is different.
It's not like I favor Joel Embiid over Jokic. I would rather have Joel Embiid because of
he hasn't
two
been out of second round.
He hasn't. That's a great point.
I'm just saying that's one of those cases people use against
before
Jokic.
We
he hasn't
get
been
to
out second round though. I'm like, okay, well, before Joel Embiid hasn't been out.
You're right, and he's been on a lot of good teams. Before we get to Embiid, but I and how much of this is the fact of the position they play? When you have four guys for sure ahead of Jokic, that is Giannis, KD, Steph, and LeBron. Good, I'm with you. Here are the guys who you can compare to
in
Jokic.
The bucket.
But I want to know who, when push comes to shove, you have ahead. I have Tatum ahead of him. His team just made the finals. They got deep in the finals, and Tatum's a two-way player. You have Jokic or Tatum ahead? Who's
I'll
ahead?
I'll probably take Jason Tatum.
Okay, so now we're up to six for Jokic.
I don't know.
But because Jokic gets a little bit of
it's
a raw
hard,
deal.
It's hard for me, man. Like, I take that back. I'm in between. I need to see how this year pans out before I say I'm going to take one of those guys over Jokic.
I understand that, too, because Jokic, when he was still getting better, was not good in the bubble in the playoffs when it mattered most, when he had Jamal Murray. Porter was hurt. But Jamal Murray balled out, and Jokic didn't rise to that level. On the other hand, Jokic has gotten better since then, and in that time, he hasn't had Jamal Murray and Porter all the time, right? Now,
and
guys are healthy.
And Aaron Gordon now.
And Aaron Gordon, that's right.
And
what you mean?
I'm not saying Ann. That's Alan Yates jumping in our show.
Yeah.
What else, Ann? Yates, go ahead.
I just want to know how you're good enough to win the MVP despite having healthy teammates, and then when you lose in the playoffs, it's, well, he didn't have healthy teammates. If you're good enough to win the MVP,
but that's why Jay's saying
to get over the top.
That's why
Jay's
saying he wants to see what happens this year.
Yeah, and by the way, the MVP is a regular season award.
I don't
right?
care what award he's getting. Something that only certain amount of dudes get. One person every year gets this award. It solidifies greats to legends and legendary people to untouchables. He's going to be on a list, a very short list of people to win three.
In a row. It's only
and
three
every
guys.
Every time we talk about this guy, there's always, yeah, but he didn't have Jamal Murray here, but he won MVP. But then he didn't have this guy here, but he won MVP. And now when he gets to have to, you know, perform, it's, oh, well, the motor.
A lot of what Yates is saying, Jay, is true. And the other thing is, but that's what it leads to the point you're making. The reason people are waiting to see what Jokic does in the playoffs this year is because if he wins a championship, you will never, and I don't think ever again, see a guy's place in history skyrocket like that. Because what a championship will do is justify all the MVPs. And now all of a sudden you go three straight MVPs, a champion, the whole thing. He's going to be one of the very greatest players ever. But if he falls short, especially early in the playoffs, especially with a healthy team, it's going to be seen as outrageous that he got those three MVPs. That's why you're saying you want to wait to see.
I'm just saying, I mean, can you tell me this year, is he your MVP this year?
He has to be this year in the regular season so far. I think so.
Is he your MVP this year? Or are you giving it to
Joel? He has to be the MVP. This is the other problem with the MVP award.
Before you go into your point, Yates, I feel like there's a problem with the MVP award.
Of course, exactly. 100%.
And that correlates to Jokic, where I'm saying, like, yo, Jokic is a unique talent, man.
He is,
like, Jay. So whether you want to change the award to the entirety of regular season and postseason combined, because that's what you determine to be the MVP, then the problem is with the league.
Yes.
And it's not with
The other point is, even though you're right, there is
because James Harden won the MVP the year LeBron James
but that
won.
Was one. There's something about the MVP award, even in the regular season, that is reserved that by the voters to certain greats who have to also show you something in the playoffs to continue to get it. And even then, sometimes there's fatigue with giving it to the same guy. So the way it's worked out for Jokic is he's about to win his third, and this year he deserves it in the regular season. But how is he even in that position when there's no fatigue giving him the award when he hasn't had success in the playoffs, right? That there's a difference here.
Go ahead, Yates.
So my whole thing, Jay, is like, it's almost like the boy who cried wolf, right? Like, he is extremely deserving head, shoulders, knees, and toes to get the MVP this season. But it almost highlights the fact that the previous two were questionable because of changing criteria. Like, he got one MVP because he played the most games. That was a criteria in the narrative that year. Mm-hmm. Now it's a justifiable average of a triple-double, which we've seen already. And the first one was, it's a nice season. So every time he gets an MVP, it's a different criteria and a different reasoning why, which is a bigger problem, because this one that he's getting now is going to highlight the fact that the previous two were problematic.
You have him, Jay, at –
I have him over Tatum? I have him at the five range.
Okay, I have Tatum over him. I'll take Luka over him. That's six, so now I have him seven. This is a three-time MVP about to be. Is there anybody else? I think maybe it stops there. Am I forgetting anybody?
Joel Embiid.
Embiid. No. I have Jokic 8.
Okay.
Jokic 8, which is still great.
You have
but
an 8?
Yeah, eighth player. It's 1 to Jokic. I go 8, you go 5. We learn anything from the Lakers last night? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.